الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ربنا عليك توكلنا وإليك أنبنا وإليك المصير ربنا لا تجعلنا فتنة للذين كفروا واغفر لنا ربنا إنك أنت العزيز الحكيم صدق الله العظيم. Respected brothers and also sisters at the madrasa who have come in spite of this weather, may Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala accept your coming, and may Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala inspire us to such a level that it becomes extremely easy to be obedient to him and his beloved Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and to shun everything that is displeasing to him and his beloved Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Because it is very easy to say, I have been inspired, but what is the meaning of being inspired? If that inspiration merely means that we got a lot of information and facts, then it is not sufficient. I've been repeatedly mentioning this, that if inspiration merely means that we have accumulated a lot of new facts and a lot of new information, then it is not sufficient. There are lots of people who are saying we have been inspired by different programs. However, when it comes to Fajr Salat, when it comes to making amal on those hadiths of Rasul-e-Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam or those Quranic verses which they have heard, then there is a great amount of deficiency. So inspiration, true inspiration is this, that the person immediately gets into action, then that is inspiration. If the person doesn't get into action, then it is not sufficient. It could be some sort of inspiration, but it is not sufficient. You have already heard, and many times, in fact, by now you have heard Hazrat Yunus alayhi salatu wasalam's incident. I mentioned it recently also, that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, he does not relate these incidents just to give us some sort of information. If you look at the life of Hazrat Yunus alayhi salatu wasalam, or the life of Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, or Hazrat Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, or Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, and of course the life of Rasul-e-Pak sallallahu alaihi wasalam, then it has not been mentioned just for the purpose of information. It has been mentioned so that we take lessons from those lives, so that we take lessons from the lives of those nabis of the past, so that we take lessons from the lives of Rasul, of the Awliya-i-Kiram, of the Ahlullah, of the Sahaba-i-Kiram Ridwanullah Alayhim Ajma'in, and we take lessons from the life of Rasul-e-Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has repeatedly mentioned the incidents of certain nabis for the purpose of the ummat of Rasul-e-Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. For example, the same incident of Hazrat Yunus alayhi salatu wa sallam, I mentioned that immediately after informing us that Hazrat Yunus alayhi salatu wasalam, when he was in distress, darkness upon darkness, three darkness, the darkness of the night, the darkness of the stomach of the whale, the darkness of the water of the ocean, Hazrat Yunus alayhi salatu wasalam calls out, فَنَادَى فِي الظُّلُمَاتِ أَلَّا إِلَٰهَ إِلَّا أَنْتَ سُبْحَانَكَ إِنِّي كُنْتُ مِنَ الظَّالِمِينَ. In those darknesses, Hazrat Yunus alayhi salatu wasalam calls out that La ilaha illa anta, there is no one, O Allah, besides you. There is no one that I can turn towards besides you. there is none for me besides you. Glory be to you, praise be to you. You are pak, you are pure. There is no defect, there is no weakness in your qudrat, in your power, in your glory, in your might. And I am of those who have done injustice. I am of those who have transgressed. I explained that here is a Nabi of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, and it is our yaqeen, our aqeedah, our belief that no Nabi of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala commits any kind of sin. We don't attribute any kind of sin to the Nabis of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Because what kind of a Nabi that would be, who would be sinning away and then telling his ummah that you must stay away from these sins. Nauzubillah, that Nabi is not going to be a true Nabi. A Nabi of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, he is divinely protected from sin. Whatever we read of Hazrat Adam alayhi salatu wasalam eating the forbidden fruit, or Hazrat Yunus alayhi salatu wasalam leaving that community before the order of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala came that he should leave them, because they were indulging in so much of sins and he had seen the signs of the azab of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala coming. Or Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, there are certain incidents in his life. Or Hazrat Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. So those were not sins. They were either errors of judgment. They did not purposely and willfully disobey Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Hazrat Adam alayhi salatu wasalam, it was his desire to remain forever and ever in Jannat. Now that kind of desire, who is not going to have? And again, shaitan took so much of qasams. So it was in that hope that he wished to live forever in Jannat that he ate the fruit. But then immediately after that, it's Rabbana zalamna anfusana wa illam taghfir lana wa tarhamna lanakunanna minal khasirin. There was no question of justification of any kind of disobedience to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Whether it was of sin category or not, it was not a sin in their case. But still, they immediately submitted themselves before Allah ta'ala. They pleaded, they cried, they sought forgiveness. They turned towards him. And these things have been related in the Quran Sharif so that the ummah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam may take a lesson. That they were sinless, masoom Nabis of Allah ta'ala. But even if there was an error of judgment, but they considered that to be a disobedience to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. They considered that to be a sin. And they made so much of tawbah and cried so much for years and years. They shed tears. So we as the ummah of Rasul-e Paak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who are not nabis, we are not sinless and masoom nabis. There will be sins. There will be mistakes. There will be errors. But then we should take a lesson from those nabis that what did they do? Plenty of istighfar and plenty of tawbah. So in the case of Hazrat Yunus alayhi salatu wasalam, he said, La ilaha illa anta subhanak inni kuntu minaz zalimin. But the important thing is that immediately after that, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says, Fastajabna lahu wa najjaynahu minal gham wa kadhalika nunjil mu'mineen. You have heard this, that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says, we responded to his call. The moment he called, La ilaha illa anta subhanak, we responded to his call. And we relieved him of that distress. We took him out of that distress. And then, وَكَذَٰلِكَ نُنْجِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. And this is how we will keep on relieving believers of their distress, of their problems, of their difficulties, of whatever is befacing them as trials. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says that this is how we will keep on relieving them. So relieving them means what? That they all have to go into the stomach of the whale to read La ilaha illa anta subhanak. That was in the case of Hazrat Yunus alayhi salatu wasalam, that he went into the stomach of the whale. But in the case of the believers, it doesn't mean that Allah ta'ala will relieve them of the distress only when they go down deep into the ocean and some whale swallows them up. And then they call out, because when the whale of our ocean is going to swallow someone, then he won't even have time to call out. That will be the end of him. That Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala out of his qudrat gave Hazrat Yunus alayhi salatu wasalam life in the stomach of the whale. But if one of our persons has to be swallowed, then he will not be like Yunus alayhi salatu wasalam. So what it means is that just as Hazrat Yunus alayhi salatu wasalam, although he was sinless, but outwardly he thought that this was a disobedience to Allah Ta'ala, for which he had to face this whole episode. So he called out, La ilaha illa anta subhanak inni kuntu minaz zalimin. He acknowledged his weakness. So we too must do the same thing, that we must not justify any of our sins. We must not justify any of our weakness. If there is a weakness, then must acknowledge it. Don't go and look for justification in Quran and Sunnah and in the lives of Ahlullah or the Awliya-i-Kiram, who in a state of hal may have said something or done something. So don't look for justification. If there is a weakness, there is a shortcoming, then immediately make plenty of tawbah and istighfar and turn towards Allah Ta'ala. So that was mentioned with regard to Hazrat Yunus alayhi salatu wasalam, which by now you know very well. But I gave you this introduction so that we see that this is why Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala mentions incidents in the lives of other Nabis, especially for us, so that we take a lesson. And in these times, when all of us are very much concerned, indeed we cannot do very much when it comes to the battles that are being waged in other countries of the world against Muslim forces and so many other problems that the Muslim Ummah is facing, then we cannot seem to do very much except giving some financial help and assistance and making some dua. But besides that, we do not have that kind of training and ability to go and join them and do something. Nevertheless, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala gives us some form of direction that these type of things happened to the Nabis of the past, to their ummats, to the people who obeyed them and followed them. They also experienced some sort of distress, some sort of problem, some sort of difficulty, some sort of trial. And yet they were obedient servants of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. But they went through some sort of trial and test. They were not committing sins. They were obedient. Hazrat Yunus alayhi salatu wasalam, Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, and all these people didn't commit any sins. But still they went through so many different trials. So we who are committing sins, definitely we are going to face much, much more. They without sins, if they went through trials, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which sin he committed? Na'uzubillah. His Sahaba-i-Kiram, Ridwanullah alayhim ajma'in, for what were they made to leave their homes in Makkah Sharif and leave their properties and leave their belongings and separate from their wives and separate from their children, and so many children became orphan and so many wives became widows? Which sin did they commit? There was no sin. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala wanted to choose some as martyrs from amongst them, and Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala wanted to set the pattern for the ummah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, that this is something that will happen in your lives to test you whether you are true believers in him, whether you are his ashik, or you are the ashik of wealth and property and everything else. So if no test comes, then there is no way that a person can determine whether this person is a true ashik of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala or is a hypocrite and a munafiq. It's only when tests come, at that time the person will make a decision. Either he obeys Allah or he disobeys Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. And that will then sort out the munafiqs from the true ashiks of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. So just as Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala had mentioned that incident in the life of Hazrat Yunus alayhi salatu wasalam, in the life of Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam also there were trials upon trials. And since we are now already in Shawwal, and these are the months of Hajj, so Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam life automatically comes to mind. And Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam himself said that I am the dua of Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. Besides the other things, he said, my forefather Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, he made dua that Allah Ta'ala must send a Nabi from his progeny who will have four functions and four duties: tilawat of the ayat, يعلمهم الكتاب يتلو عليهم آياته ويزكيهم ويعلمهم الكتاب والحكمة. So those four functions: the rehearsal of the verses of the Quran Sharif, teaching the book, tazkiyah of the qulub, and hikmat, which is referred to as the sunnats of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. So Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam made dua for Rasul Pak sallallahu alayhi wasalam. So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala describes this incident and relates a dua of Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam just as he related that dua of Hazrat Yunus alayhi salatu wasalam. Just as he related the dua of Hazrat Yunus alayhi salatu wasalam, La ilaha illa anta subhanak inni kuntu minaz zalimin. In the same way, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala relates a dua of Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam when he separated from his people. When his father also threatened him that now I'm going to chop your hands off and I'm going to cut your legs and I'm going to stone you and I'm going to do this to you and do that to you. Then Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam said, Salamun alayk sa astaghfiru laka rabbi innahu kana bi hafiyya. But I don't want to go into details of those ayats. But when all these threats came, Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam wished them goodbye and he left them. So at that time when he was finding himself extremely weak, cut off from the entire family, from his clan, from his people, from his community, and from his parents also, they also rejected his teachings. Now imagine how a person feels at such a time. He feels as if the whole world has forsaken him and left him. So at such a time, what did they do? When they separated, then what did they do? Or when all these trials came, then what kind of dua did they make? So Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, he made a dua. Rabbana alayka tawakkalna wa ilayka anabna wa ilayka al-masir. Rabbana la taj'alna fitnatan lil-ladhina kafaru. واغفر لنا ربنا إنك أنت العزيز الحكيم. The first thing that he said, ربنا عليك توكلنا. O Allah, it is in you that we place our trust. He and his people, now that he left from those who were worshipping the idols and now they were threatening to destroy him. So after going through all those trials, now he says, O Allah, in you it is that we place our trust. Alayka tawakkalna. Wa ilayka anabna. And it is towards to you that we turn. It is towards you that we turn. For assistance, for help. We are pleading to you. Wa ilayka al-masir. And towards you is our return. Now these are the three things that Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam straight away mentions. One is that the trust he places solely in Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. In the midst of those trials, in the midst of those tribulations, in the midst of those hardships, in the midst of all those difficulties, in the midst of all that boycott and ostracism and whatever else it was, in the midst of all those trials, he says, Alayka tawakkalna. O Allah, it is in you that we place our trust. Now this, as I've explained, is for the Muslim Ummah. The fans on slow speed. It is for the Muslim Ummah. That Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala wants to give us a lesson that if you are facing difficulties, trials, hardships, then what must you do? At such a time, your trust you must place in Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Your tawakkul must be in Allah. It must not suddenly turn on the amount of ammunition that you have, the numbers that you have, whether you have majority or minority. It must not turn on the wealth in your possession. It must not turn on any material things. Even in the midst of all those trials, your tawakkul must be solely in Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. It must be solely in Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. That even if we have everything in our possession, it is not going to take us out of our distress if Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has not decided to get us out of our distress. So first thing is tawakkul in Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. That no matter what has happened, the people have forsaken him, they have turned him out of his land, and they have threatened to destroy him, and they have threatened to murder him and kill him and assassinate him. Even his father threatens him, everything happens. But Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, he says, Alayka tawakkalna. Wa ilayka anabna, and it is towards you, O Allah, that we turn. Our turning must be first towards Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. And then the person acknowledges that our return is also to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Our return is also to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So just as Hazrat Yunus alayhi salatu wasalam, he made that dua, in the same way here now Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, he is teaching us a lesson. Because as you will learn that little later or immediately after this verse, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says that in Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam's life is an ideal example for you. So here Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, now in the midst of all those trials and hardships and difficulties, he's saying, Rabbana alayka tawakkalna wa ilayka anabna wa ilayka al-masir. Now this is very relevant to our times. This is why I'm mentioning this. That we take it for granted that all these du'as were recited by Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, Hazrat Yunus alayhi salatu wasalam, Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, and other du'as by other nabis of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. And they were for them. When they found themselves in distress, in difficulty, in trials, then they recited that du'a or they made that du'a. They pleaded to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala and Allah ta'ala relieved them. But it is not for them. This Quran Sharif is until the day of Qiyamah. And it was a guidance for mankind. But of mankind, only those people receive the guidance who have got taqwa, as Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says, hudal lil muttaqeen. And the believers, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, he has given for them all these du'as. That you take a lesson from these nabis, that they also found themselves in a lot of difficulties, a lot of trials. Such kind of trials that we cannot even imagine. Rasul-e-Pak, with just a small band of people in the early days, and the entire mushrikeen and the kuffar and everybody against him. Who would have ever imagined that a day would come that Islam would flourish and Islam would spread throughout the globe and it would become a force to be reckoned with? At that time, when they saw Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam tying stone on his bellies and the sahaba-e-kiram with just sheet on their bodies and patched clothes and not even sufficient food to stand straight, at that time when they are digging the trench and people are so concerned that all the enemy forces have banded together and they are going to destroy them, at that time who would have ever thought that Islam would spread throughout the globe and it would be a force? Nobody. But in the midst of all those trials, what did they do? They did the same thing that these people did. That they made use of those material things that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala had blessed them with. Whether it was when they were going to battle, they went with the preparation, they went with the swords, whatever they had, whatever equipment they could gather, whatever exercises and drills they could have made, everything they made use of. But they said exactly the same thing that Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam said, Rabbana alayka tawakkalna. Wa ilayka anabna wa ilayka al-masir. And because of that, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala gave them relief, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala gave them dominance, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala gave them victory, Allah ta'ala sent down the angels to assist them and help them. But the condition is this, that the tawakkul and trust must be in Allah ta'ala. Now the problem with us is this, that sometimes we have got too much of tawakkul without the ingredients of tawakkul. That we also say the same thing. I've got my trust in Allah Ta'ala. The Muslim forces have got their trust in Allah Ta'ala. The Muslim countries have got their trust in Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. But what kind of a trust is that? What kind of a trust is that in Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala when there is no obedience in the person's life? In the person's life, if there's no namaz, roza, zakat, hajj, no ibadat, no obedience to Rasul-e-Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, there is so much of sins and so much of vices and so much of evil. When the women folk have got no hijab and no haya and no modesty, and when there's so much of intermingling and so much of fitnas, and then we say that we've got our trust in Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, and because of this trust that we are proclaiming with our tongue, just as Allah ta'ala helped Hazrat Yunus alayhi salatu wasalam in the stomach of the whale, darkness upon darkness, in the same, just as he helped Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, just as he assisted Rasul-e-Pak sallallahu alayhi wasalam, he must assist us. We deserve that assistance because we have claimed or proclaimed or announced very loudly and clearly that we have our trust and faith in Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Whereas if you have to go and see and look at the Muslim forces in many Muslim countries of the world, then unfortunately we will be shocked at the condition of those Muslim forces. That there's so much of drink, there's so much of crime and there's so much of evil. But they say that we have got our trust in Allah Ta'ala. Now when you are going to place that kind of trust, then you cannot expect that kind of results. But if we do whatever we have been told to do, we try our level best. Our job is to make an effort and try. And don't claim that we have reached perfection or we will reach perfection. But if we make that effort, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, out of His mercy, He will accept that little. He will accept that little. And then He will give us the rewards that He gave to those people of the past, because we are living in times of fitna and corruption. But if we don't make any effort and we wait for those results that came to the Sahaba Ikram and the Anbiya alayhimus salatu wasalam, they are not going to come. So immediately after this dua, Rabbana alayka tawakkalna wa ilayka anabna wa ilayka al-masir, Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam goes further and he says, Rabbana la taj'alna fitnatan lilladheena kafaru. Oh my beloved Allah, oh wa khaliqo wa maliko wa rab, do not make us a means of fitna for those who have committed kufr. Don't let us become a fitna for those who have committed kufr. Hazrat Mujahid and other mufassireen, they have given the tafsir of this, and it has been mentioned by many others too, that one of the tafsirs of this is that, O Allah, at the hands of the kuffar, do not cause us to be punished because of our weakness, because of our sins, because of our crimes, because of our evil habits and evil actions and deeds. Don't let us be punished by the kuffar. That means don't make the kuffar dominant over us and then torture us, punish us, put us into prisons, lash us, take us out of our homes, banish us from our lands, take control over our land and territory, get government over us. Oh Allah, don't let this happen. Don't make us a fitna for those who have committed kufr. And another tafsir of this verse has been given, or this dua has been given, that, O Allah, do not give them plentiful of or abundance in their sustenance. Don't give them abundance in their production, in their goods, in their possessions, because they will then think that we are the beloved of Allah, and these people, they have got nobody at their side. Because when they will have plentiful, then immediately they will think that if there was truth, that there is an Allah who is all-powerful, almighty, then that Allah should have come to the assistance of these believers. But the fact that He is not coming to their assistance is an indication that He does not exist, or there is no such thing as Allah Ta'ala having any might and any power and any qudrat. So this will become a fitna for them. They are not going to accept Islam then. Why should they accept Islam if they find that in kufr they are enjoying life, they are getting plentiful, and there is no trial, there is no test, there is no azab, there is no punishment, and they are seeing that those who are believers, they have got no force, no power, no might, no government, no control, no dominance, nothing. And when they come in opposition, then they are destroyed totally, they are annihilated, they are wiped out. So it will become a fitna for them that they are not going to then accept Islam. So Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam made this dua at that time, but it's applicable to our time, because he didn't commit sins or anything of that nature. But look at the mufassireen, how they are applying it to our times. That in our times, because of our sins, this can be a major fitna. And this is exactly what is happening. Don't just look at the 50 odd Muslim countries that they have got plenty of ammunition and they've got plenty of missiles and they've got plenty of fighters and they've got plenty of aircraft and everything else and plenty of military power. Don't look at that. You have to look at what kind of power is that which cannot be used because of the fear of the enemies. What kind of a power is that? That you've got plenty of power, but you cannot use it because you fear what America will say. Make the fans a little slow if they're feeling cold. But you are fearing that what will America say, what will Britain say, and what if we have to send some missiles to Chechnya and assist those Chechenian Muslims, then the military might and power of the superpowers will then be against us and they will destroy us. So what kind of a power is that? Whereas real power is this, that even if you have a little, but in the with that little you go in trusting in Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, then Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala will give dominance. So this is the difference. This is the difference. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala relates this dua of Nabi Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam to give us a lesson, that Rabbana la taj'alna fitnatan lilladheena kafaru. Don't make us a fitna for those who have committed kufr, because if they are going to become dominant, then it will create that wrong impression in their minds that these Muslims do not have any kind of force, any kind of power, they do not have Allah on their side. Whereas Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala has promised dominance. Allah Ta'ala has promised لَيَسْتَخْلِفَنَّهُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ كَمَا اسْتَخْلَفَ الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ. So Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is promising istikhlaf. He will give you government, He will give you dominance, He will give you rule, He will give you power. But the condition is this, Iman and Amal Saleh. Without Iman and Amal Saleh, even if we keep making this dua, it is not going to solve much of a problem. So one is at the community level, society level, national level, and international level. Different stages there are. So we may not be able to solve the international problem, the national problem, or even the provincial problems. But every individual, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala gives him that same force, that if an individual brings in his life tawakkul in Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, obedience to Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, he turns towards Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, he obeys Rasulullah Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and over the shortcomings and weakness he makes plenty of istighfar and tawbah, and he makes rujoo ila Allah, just as Hazrat Yunus alayhi salatu wasalam and Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam and all others made, then Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala will definitely solve that individual's problem. Now at present all of us are looking too far. That is why we can't seem to find a solution. But if each and every one of us change our own lives, then it means the whole society has changed. Because what is a society? Society is made of whom? Society is made up of individuals. Each and every individual forms a society. And many, many societies then form a nation. So if on the individual level, where we can make an effort, where we can make a change, where it's not difficult to make a change, if we make a change, then Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala will start solving the problems of that individual. And when the individuals in large numbers find their problems being solved by Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, then it will mean that the nation's problems are also going to get solved. That is the hikmat behind giving us these duas. That if we cannot, for some reason or the other, we cannot change somebody else, then why do we say that we cannot change somebody else, so now what can we do? We cannot do much. What is happening in the world, we can't do much. The drug problem, this problem, that problem. Indeed, there are so many problems, and we cannot do very much. We cannot do very much because either we are far away, or we do not have the resources, or we have got no voice in those corridors where all these plannings take place. So at such a time, then we must make the extensive effort on our individual selves. And this is not selfishness. Don't misunderstand that this is selfishness. That together with the individual self, then you make on others. But if the person is not interested in his own self changing, then in the light of the Quran and Sunnah, that person is a hypocrite. The person who is very much concerned about the entire Muslim world, and he wants the entire Muslim world to get the nusrat and help and assistance of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala and to become pious and righteous and God-fearing, but that person is not interested in his own change, then in the light of Sharia, in the light of the Quran and Sunnah, that person is a munafiq, he is a hypocrite. And if he is a hypocrite, then how can he expect the nusrat and help of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala to come? Now when we have got large numbers of hypocrites in our own families and societies and our homes, then how can we expect the nusrat and the help and of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala to come? This is the issue. Understand it, it's a very important thing that I'm telling you. And if you start looking in this light, if I look at it in the same light, that whatever change I can bring into my life, and whatever change you can bring into your life, and the same effort then you make in the home, in the environment and outside. So if the more the individuals change their lives, then the society will change, the nations will change, the countries will change. But it starts off with the individual. Therefore in the Quran Sharif also we have to look. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu qu anfusakum wa ahlikum nara wa quduhan nasu wal hijara عليها ملائكة غلاظ شداد لا يعصون الله ما أمرهم ويفعلون ما يؤمرون قو أنفسكم يا أيها الذين آمنوا أو ye believers أو my beloved servants قو أنفسكم وأهليكم نارا save yourselves and your families from the fire of Jahannam. The first thing that Allah Ta'ala mentions there is save yourself. Now this Allah Ta'ala asking us to be selfish. Is this as Allah Ta'ala is telling us that you must save yourself first. So is Allah Ta'ala telling us that you must be selfish, that you must show concern about yourself? That is the problem, that we misunderstand. We look too far and as a result not much changes are coming. Save yourself and your families. From this it has been deduced that compulsory education, we are talking about it now. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala revealed the Quran Sharif and made compulsory education. Because how is the person going to save himself and his families from the fire of Jahannam if he does not have the knowledge of Deen and Sharia? If he doesn't have the knowledge of Deen and Sharia, then can he save his families? If he doesn't know what is halal, what is haram, if he doesn't know what is wajib and farz and mustahab, and if the person doesn't know what is akhlaq and what is muamlat and muasharat, then how will that person save himself from the fire of Jahannam and his family? Because he's got no direction, he's in darkness. So this education is compulsory. But the point that I was emphasizing is that qu anfusakum, save yourselves. Because lots of people think this is selfishness. When you say that you must concentrate on yourself and reform and change your individual life, and make an effort, make tazkiyah of your qulub, then they say that no, this is selfishness. We must worry about the entire ummah. Indeed, the concern of the entire ummah is also on the heads of the individuals. But that individual must show that he is concerned. He must show that he is really concerned about the deen of the others by practicing on that knowledge which he himself has. Otherwise it shows that he is not concerned about the deen of the others. It is just a lip service concern, or it is just because if we find it more easy and convenient to work on others. So the work on others must also continue, there is no doubt, don't misunderstand me. All these madrasas, darul ulums, khanqas, tabligh work, all these things which is making an effort on others, if they all stop, then we will have total darkness. So all that must continue. But the whole purpose of all that work too is to bring the whole of Islam or the deen of Islam into the life of the individual himself. Therefore, Mawlana Ilyas Rahmatullah Alayh, Allah Ta'ala had given him great wisdom. He said that one is that you train an individual and then you send him into the government. You tell him first we'll train you and then we will send you into the government so that you can rule with justice. So he said, in our times now, it's going to take a long, long time. So the other method is that the person who's in government, train him up, make him pious, righteous, so that wherever he is after that, he deals with justice and fair play and there's no corruption in his life. So again, if you have to look at it deeply, it's the same thing. That bring deen into the life of the individual. But now who is going to bring deen into the life of the other individual? The only that person can do that who himself has akhlaq. He himself has ibadat in his life. He himself has taqwa and taharat in his life. He himself has deen in his life. then he will be able to introduce it into the life of the other person. For if I have to befriend a person who does not have any namaz in his life, and I have to travel with this person, then Zuhr time will come and it will go. Asr time will come and it will go. He is not going to tell me that it is time for namaz now. And if we are in business and we are partners, then if there is a deal through which we can make millions, but it is a fraudulent deal, then neither will he tell me nor will I tell him. Because I don't have it in my life, he doesn't have it in his life. And if I have to tell him also, but I don't have it, then I am going to find some sort of justification. I will tell him that you must not deal fraudulently, but I am dealing fraudulently. Then will that work? If I tell the person, Fajr time, that you must go and make your Fajr namaz. You are fit, healthy, there's nothing keeping you at home. You must go and make it with Jamaat. But I've got no weakness, no sickness, no disease, no illness, and I say that I will make it here. So will that have an effect? So at present, this is our problem, that why our nasihats and our waaz and our lectures and our talks are not having any impact and effect, is that we are not practical ourselves. We don't want it in our lives. In many Muslim countries, they don't want Islam. They just want the name of Islam. Like they say, Pakistan, Islam ke naam par bana hua hai. One of our buzrugs used to say, when people used to say that in Pakistan they are drinking and gambling and there's so much of cinemas and theaters and all kinds of haram entertainment and pleasures, and whereas it was supposed to be a country that was for Islam. So he said, Pakistan, Qaid-e-Azam and all these people were saying, Islam ke naam par bana hai. In the name of Islam it has been made. So in the name of Islam, so there's plenty of name of Islam. It's an Islam, do we call it an Islamic country? Names of the people in majority are Muslim names. So that which is made in the name of Islam, there's nothing but name. So this dua of Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, he says that, O Allah, do not make us a fitna for those who have committed kufr. Because if you are going to punish us, the sins that we are committing, on account of that, if you are going to punish us, then this kuffar, they are going to laugh. They are going to enjoy themselves. They are going to celebrate. And we will become a fitna. That now they are not going to accept Islam. They say, where is that Allah? There's so much more that we can say, but just let's complete this dua and we'll continue, inshallah. Waghfir lana, O Allah, forgive us. So, O my Allah, we do not want to become fitna for the kuffar. We do not want any punishment, any azab from you. So what should you do? O Allah, forgive us. That means the sins of ours, we are seeking forgiveness. Now Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam is again teaching us the same thing which you heard in the life of Hazrat Yunus alayhi salatu wasalam, that he said, Inni kuntu minaz zalimeen. Now what kind of sin did Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam commit that is asking Allah Ta'ala for forgiveness? And he says, O Allah, you are exalted in might and very, very wise. That means your might, your power, your qudrat is such that no force can come in opposition to your qudrat and your power. If you forgive us, then it will become very easy. Then your nusrat and your help you will be able to get. So the lesson for today is this, that let us, after this month of Ramadan, now at least make a decision that how long are we going to remain munafiqs and hypocrites? How long are we going to just keep saying, very inspiring, very inspiring? What is the meaning of that inspiration? Does it mean just accumulation of facts? How many times we are listening to that word inspiration? But that inspiration is such that after that it doesn't allow the person to get up for Fajr Salat, it doesn't allow him to deal straight in his business, it doesn't allow him to talk nicely, gently, kindly with his wife and family and children, it doesn't allow him to obey Allah and his Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, then what kind of an inspiration is there? So these du'as of the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, they are actually for us. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is giving us the information that in your times also you will be faced with different kinds of trials and problems and difficulties and hardships. So at that time, you must do the same thing that these Nabis of Allah who were sinless, they did. If as sinless Nabis of Allah, tabaraka wa ta'ala, they could turn towards us and seek so much of forgiveness and make so much of tawbah and istighfar, and yet they were sinless, then in your condition, how much you must turn towards me. This is a lesson for us, that how much must we turn towards Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, because we are sinning day and night. Day and night, if we have to look at our lives, we will find nothing but the darkness of sins in our lives. We just come outside the masjid and our file begins recording sins and sins. So how much more istighfar and tawbah we must make. And then we must believe that if the person cannot have that degree of taqwa, then as long as he makes sincere tawbah, and sincere tawbah has been explained dozens of times, that if a person is owing money, he starts paying back. If the person has hurt the feelings and injured the feelings of others, he asks them for forgiveness. If it's inheritance and things like that, where he has defrauded or taken the properties of orphans and widows not belonging to him, then he must make sure he returns. Now all that kind of tawbah, namaz, roza, zakat, hajj, he starts slowly making the qazas. Then Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will raise him to the status of muttaqin. And he has promised those same rewards that he has promised those people who are muttaqin. Now what more do we want? So it is definitely a Muslim's iman on the hadiths of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that a Muslim is one that if any one part of the body feels the pain, then the whole body feels the pain. Just like the whole body feels the pain, if some part of the body feels the pain, in the same way, if some part of the Muslim ummah is suffering, then this Muslim also feels the suffering, and he goes out of his way to do something about it. Doesn't just pass an opinion and some comment and forget about it, whether he can help financially, materially, morally, with dua, but he does something and he feels that pain. But then he must not think that I have done my duty because I showed some concern about some Muslim brother that is suffering somewhere in the world. He must not forget himself, and this is not selfishness, because Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is ordering the person that if you are going to change, Allah ta'ala is saying, change yourself. Save yourself and your family from the fire of Jahannam, because this person is going to change. And if every individual is going to do the same, then there will be a whole society of pious, righteous, God-fearing people. Then Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's nusrat, help and rahmat and mercy and everything will just descend. The person has to just raise his hand and make one simple dua and everything will change. But at present we're making a lot of dua, but we don't want to change ourselves. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala give me and give you and the entire ummah the tawfiq to read these duas with understanding and take a lesson from it and then implement it in our lives. May Allah Ta'ala give us complete reformation and change of our own selves. May Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala purify our hearts from all the evil that has embedded itself and give assistance and help and nusrat to our brothers and sisters in all parts of the world, wherever they are suffering, especially at present in Chechnya. Allah Ta'ala must send His ghaibi forces, and Allah Ta'ala must uproot the enemy's forces. It is not difficult for Allah Ta'ala, when zulm reaches a certain level, when the people don't have much amal in their lives, when there's not much amal, the masjids are empty, the people don't have much namaz, roza, zakat, tilawat, ibadat, zikr. So at such a time, then they have to go through a lot of trials. But then when the zulm reaches a level, when from the enemy's side the zulm reaches a level, then Allah Ta'ala sends His help again and destroys the zalim. That is history. That sometimes when we see victory coming, it is not because of our good deeds suddenly that it is coming. It is because Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala punishes those who commit zulm and injustice. So when their zulm and injustice reaches a certain limit, then Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala turns the tables. And it is my belief that now the zulm of these Russians is reaching a limit. It only requires a bit of ruju al Allah of our brothers and sisters in that part of the world and other places, the du'as that they make, and Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala can change the whole condition. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammadin wa ala ali Sayyidina Muhammadin wa barik wa sallim. Ay Allah, humare gunahon ko maaf farma, khataon ko maaf farma, lagzishon se darguzar farma. Ay Allah, humari tamam pareshaniyon ko dur farma. ہمارے بھائی بہن جو دنیا بھر کے اندر پریشان ہیں ان کی پریشانیوں کو دور فرما. جو بے ایمان ہیں ان کو ایمان عطا فرما.
جو ایمان والے ہیں ان کو استقامت نصیب فرما، جو بیمار ہیں ان کو شفا تامہ کاملہ عطا فرما، اے اللہ جو بے اولاد ہیں ان کو نیک اور صالح اولاد نصیب فرما، اے اللہ ہم سب کو ایک اور نیک بنا دے، ہمارے دلوں کا پورا پورا تزکیہ نصیب فرما دے، قرآن مجید کی آیتوں پر پورا پورا یقین نصیب فرما دے، حضور پاک صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم کی سنتوں پر عمل کی توفیق نصیب فرما دے، ربنا تقبل منا انك انت السميع العليم وتب علينا انك انت التواب الرحيم وصلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه سيدنا ونبينا مولانا محمد وآله وصحبه اجمعين برحمتك.